It's time for Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
That was Suicidal Tendencies, Possessed Estate. Woo, what about that, Phil Goff?
Yeah, pretty wild.
Pretty wild. Get in there. You're more of a motorcycle man yourself, though, aren't you?
Oh, I am indeed. Yeah, and it's coming up into the season. It's starting to be nice to get out on the bike and the
get your motor running. Head out on the highway, as it were.
Yeah. I'm not sure about these new electric motorbikes. I see Harley Davidson's bringing out an electric motorbike, but I always thought Harley riders, you know, rode Harleys for the sound. So I don't know whether they're going to generate an electric motor sound or quite what they're going to do, but it'll be interesting to see.
It's good that you're keeping up to speed on it, though, Phil. There's all sorts of other things that have been happening in our town, though, haven't there? First things first, we'll go to what the most recent headlines. Auckland Council wages bill. The wages bill, $1 billion.
Yeah. What the headline should have read is that the actual cost of that wages bill has come down, notwithstanding the fact we added 40,000 people to our population last year. So the staffing on a per capita basis is decreasing. And we've been pretty careful with the level of wage increases that have been given, with one big exception, and that is the people at the bottom of the heap, because of the living wage being introduced progressively over the 3-year term of this
that's
council.
That's higher than usual, then.
That's going up, and so you know we'll have that up to. Trying to remember now, it's around the $20-$21 by next year. And I think that's really important that, you know, you might be a cleaner or you might be doing something that's not regarded as a top-flight job, but it's still essential to the functioning of the city, and people deserve a decent wage for a decent week's work. So,
hell yes.
Yeah, that's the principle we've set to, and we're one of the biggest employers in the country, will be paying by next year the full living wage.
That's great. There was a bit of sniggering and querying and raising of the eyebrows and muttering in the shadows about $91 million worth of the operating costs, the staff costs, which weren't disclosed. What does that mean? What do you mean?
Well,
is that going to spies, or what's it going to hitmen? What's the deal?
The mob. I kind of object to the sort of article. I saw the article that you're referring to. Look, the way in which we disclose our wages is utterly transparent, and it's set out there for all to see, and it follows standard accounting practices.
Apart from the $91 million,
including absolutely the capitalisation of staff costs, which has come down, as you can see if you look at the paper, from $100 million down to $91 million.
Yeah.
Is a standard procedure that operates across businesses where some of the staff costs are capitalised, and we've got the General Manager of Corporate Finance, Kevin Ramsey, there explaining that absolutely. We offered to the journalist that if he wanted to go to our independent audit chair, which is a private sector auditor that manages our Audit and Risk Committee, he would have found out from her that this is absolutely standard practice, and that's the way that it should be reported, and it is not reported so as to disguise it. It's out there and it's in the open, and that's why the story appears in the paper. There is nothing unusual about it. There is nothing abnormal about it. There is nothing wrong with it, and there is nothing hidden about it.
I'm sure.
Can I be more definitive than that?
Says Phil Goff as he wakes up from a good night's sleep with no worries. On the eve of World Homeless Day, you announced the results of the Iramata Iritangata Auckland's homeless count.
Yeah.
Phil,
yeah.
How did you feel that went? And well, how did you do it, just out of interest?
Yeah, well, the way that we did it was it's a standard technique used mainly in North America, where you go out...
Home of the homeless.
Yeah, you do a point-in-time count. And we sent out, I think we had 660 volunteers on the night, and we went out and we were mainly looking at, we weren't intending to say this is the total picture of homelessness, because you're not counting people living in garages, you're not counting people that are doubled up in houses, but we wanted to know how many people there might be out sleeping rough on the street or sleeping in cars, and then adding to that the people that are in emergency accommodation. You know, for example, there's about 1,000 people in Auckland, adults and children, that are being paid by the Ministry of Social Development to live in hotel accommodation because motel accommodation, yeah. Because they're literally without without a home to go to. And what we found was we identified
a lot of people, 1,000 people. So it sort of just sounds like a small number when you think about what the population of Auckland is. But no, that's if you look at each one as a story.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
There's a lot of human beings that are having to
That's exactly right. And you
walk
know,
up and beg basically for somebody to live.
Some know? People said, "Oh well, look, you know, you found 330 that were sleeping in cars or out and on the streets." We have had an independent statistician look at that, validate it according to what, you know, the fact we had a cross-check group. Obviously, you're not going to find everybody sleeping in a car because you can sleep in a car anywhere across the city, and that's 5,000 square kilometres. But the best estimate from the statistician is that probably our literally homeless figure is around 800 in Auckland. Now, the bad news about that is 800 people living in appalling conditions, and the good news is it's a number that actually you could tackle and you could deal with. And yeah. the really good news is that the Housing First program, where we're housing people who are homeless, working with five NGOs, in the last 18 months we've housed 700 people, and that's a pretty bloody good record. So I'm really, really proud of the work that Housing First has done, but we've still got some way to go.
There's got to be an amount of people who, no matter how hard you try, you're not going to get them into any sort of housing, you know, it's their choice to stay out there for whatever reasons. You know,
but not that many. Mikey.
No, I know.
People say, oh, you know, you
going down that path.
I know you weren't, but others do to me, yeah. And they say, look, oh, they've been living out there for years, and that's true of some people, and that's the lifestyle they prefer. It's pretty hard to argue that you, in the middle of winter, like sleeping. Wrapped up in a sleeping bag on the cold ground and the wet and misery
in front
of
in the front of a in the foyer yeah. of a closed down bank or something like that.
Yeah, what we find is, you know, I mean, here's the real test of it. Of those 700 that we have housed, those that have been that we've housed for at least a year, 86% of them are still in the house at the end of the year that we've got them out of cars and off the streets and into houses. So, you know, the track record suggests that if you provide people with decent homes, yes, of course they want to stay in them, but what you have to do also is provide them with assistance with the reasons why they became homeless. And it might be mental health, yeah. It might be addiction, it might be breakdown in family relationships. So, you know, what Housing First is doing is you house the people first, and then you provide what's called a wraparound service to deal with the problems that they're confronting in their lives that led them to that plight of being homeless.
With that amount, with say, you know, agreeing on the sort of 800, is that taking into consideration the increase month by month? Like, have we got a figure of what we assume is, like, if it's 800 now with 2,000 or 3,000 in temporary accommodation, we're working on it at one end, but is it?
How do we know what the trend is?
Well, I mean, it's like, you know, it seems to be ongoing problems with wages and the divide between the rich and poor, the cost of living, you know, no one's wages going up, the cost of living raising all the time, you know,
Well, the important thing is on that front is not simply to deal with it through Housing First, get people, you know, that's critical, get people off the street, get them into decent accommodation. But what we've got to look at is why the problem arose in the first place.
It's a hell of a decision to make, isn't it? It's when you get to that stage, I don't know myself, but I'm imagining that to go, right, my only other option is to now go live rough.
It's got to be some pretty
you don't get born into living rough most of the time.
Nobody, you know, you'd have to say no human being chooses to live with the discomfort, the lack of amenities, the lack of security and safety that you face if you're sleeping rough on the streets or sleeping in a car. So, you know, one way of dealing with it, you know, we're working with government to lift the number of social houses we're producing. So we're producing 1,000 more social houses, state houses, a year for Auckland to try to keep up with demand. Another thing is, as long as you've got an overall shortage of housing, and we have in Auckland, then the people at the bottom are the first that drop off the housing ladder altogether and find it harder to find any decent accommodation at all. So, you know, getting the number of houses we're building up, and we've hit record levels in the latest year, the highest ever in Auckland's history of resource consents or building consents for new buildings, that helps. Dealing with our mental health problems, because that's been a neglected area in the health system, dealing with our addiction problems, all of those things, there's no one silver bullet solution. You've got to tackle it on all fronts, and that's what we're doing. So we actually think while this is the first ever housing count of this nature, so we don't have anything to compare it against, we think with the sheer number of people that we're managing to get into houses, and government making more of an effort as well, quite possibly we're starting to bring that overall number down.
Right.
But we won't know for a while. But you know, as long as we can produce more houses, produce more affordable houses, produce more social housing, produce more special housing for those that have been homeless, then we can start to reduce that blight on the face of Auckland.
Before you go, Phil, I remember I asked you last time, could you give us an update on the St. James?
Yeah, St. James, The thing is basically on hold at the moment. We had a developer that was going to use the airspace above the St. James and therefore meet a big part of the cost of the
refurbishment.
What we're talking about is tens and tens of millions of dollars. I love the St. James. It's part of the history of the city. I want to preserve it, but it's you know, short of getting a development agreement where we can get some private money into that refurbishment in exchange for something that we can offer, which is the airspace alongside and above the St. James. The thing is effectively on hold. The first stage of the earthquake strengthening has been done, and you can see some of the work and the work on the facade that's happened there. So we've made some progress on it, but it's on go slow until that money and that agreement can be found.
We were going to talk bars and licensing too, but we'll do that next week. Thank you very much, Phil.
Okay, good to go. Thanks, Mikey. Good to talk to you. Cheers. Bye.
That was Sounding Off with Phil Goff.